This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder and that, you know, great game, close loss to the Wizards. A lot to talk about, but first of all, before we get into it, I want to read this review that we got from one of our fans out in Australia. It says, fan from Oz. Really enjoy your pod, guys. You always put a positive spin on things, whether we win or lose. Love your insights and analysis. Thanks. Well, we appreciate you. Thank you for that review. We like to read all of our reviews. And obviously, if you're from the States or if you've read some of our negative ones, reading all of our reviews isn't always the most fun, but it is, you know, something we do here. This one from Australia was a few days old. We did not actually see it because we had to go look on the Australian page. So thank you for that. We want to say that basically, just kind of like after Thanksgiving and everything, you know, there's a lot of opinions and being around family members who aren't necessarily as big of Thunder fans or even really pay attention to what's going on in the NBA. You get a lot of opinions that aren't necessarily derived from people who watch the games. They kind of pick up on narratives and they repeat them. And, you know, so we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the narratives that we heard surrounding the Thunder right now.
Yeah, but before we do that, I also wanted to say thank you to our friends out in Australia. You guys are seriously amazing. We love the fact that as things are going on, you guys are becoming one of our most listened to countries. And the fact is that we love Josh Giddey. And if Josh Giddey is playing with a heart that he got there from Australia, obviously we want you guys to listen to our show because that passion is contagious. So thank you again for listening to us, and I hope you guys continue to do it. We get a lot of shitty reviews online or on Apple and all that other stuff, and we dig it because we're controversial. We tell everybody to fuck off. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be our grandparent, and you say something that we don't like, and we're like, fuck you. So that's what we do. So I understand there's a lot of people in Oklahoma that get very offended by our language and our way of going about things, and that's totally inexplainable. But the reality is that those guys are all fucked in the brain, and we're just here trying to tell you guys what's going on with the sports world. And sometimes we get in conversations with our own family members that don't agree with what we think about with this Oklahoma City Thunder team. For instance, turkey talk, right? Here we go. My granddad and I are sitting down and at the table, and you know, we had a couple conversations already about Josh Giddey. And so he wasn't really impressed already by the whole fact that I kept on bringing Josh up. And that's okay, because he doesn't really like to think that 19-year-olds can impact the NBA all that great. So my point was, have you seen Josh Giddey play? He's like, no, I've already told you that yesterday. I haven't watched him play, and we've already talked about Josh Giddey. And I said, that's fine, but I just want to say some more things about Josh Giddey because I appreciate who he is and the style of basketball that he plays. And he kind of, you know, does the whole eye roll, and I get it. You know, he's in his 80s, and I'm only in my late 30s, so I understand exactly what his voice is going through. But as I'm explaining Josh Giddey and why I like him, why I think he's great, I only had to say one thing, and I felt like it changed the entire scope of what he felt like about Josh Giddey. And this is what I said to him. I've listened to a lot of different broadcasters, a lot of different sports people that are experts. Now, we're talking guys that have been playing in the played in the NBA for 10, 20, even 15 to 20 years. These guys are people that we call legends. They watch Josh Giddey play, and they all say the same thing. Josh Giddey is special. He has a unique style of play. He might be a little funky here and there, but his play reminds us of, that's right, Pistol Pete Maravich. You guys are going to hear it a lot. This guy is unbelievable. And when I said Pistol Pete Maravich to my granddad, he immediately perked up and said, interesting. I think I need to watch Josh play now. That is what we're talking about. If you're an old-timer, if you know the game of basketball, and you watch Josh play, you're like, oh, that's interesting. Whoa, that pass is great. Ooh, that's really cool. Okay, I don't know what I think about Josh, because you don't know how to express it in words. But if you start looking back at some of the great passers of the NBA and the greatest passers of the NBA, Josh starts to take form. And then you start recognizing, hey, listen, this guy is like Pistol Pete Maravich, but he's so unique. He's going to really dictate exactly who he is. And that's what's exciting about it, is to me, Josh Giddey is one of those players that this, you know, last night we got to watch him play and do some amazing moves. And the one I really loved that he was able to do was a pass to J.R. Reed for the slam. I don't even understand. Like, an easy pass, right? And a typical easy pass, he makes it, like, look so amazing with a one-handed flare. Like, listen, I love the one-handed flare. I love the fact that these guys are able to do it because Josh Giddey is able to do it because there are so many guys that could not do it. You would just see a chest pass at this point. And guess what would happen to 90% of post guys that you're doing a chest pass to in the lane? It's going to go off his hands. That's right. Most post players can't catch a pass from a point guard coming at him hard because the only way that ball would have got to him without a bounce pass is too hard. And it would have gone right off of JRE's shoulder. It would have gone right off his hand. But guess what? Josh Giddey understands that. He understands the finesse that needs to happen when you're passing the ball inside to the post player. So he does a one-handed bounce pass to JRE for the slam. And it is one of the only passes that would have worked. And it was unbelievable, Mark. I have to say is that this is truly spectacular. And that's why I continue to encourage people to go watch Josh Giddey play. Every single chance you get a chance to watch him play, whether that's online, the game reviews or whatever you want to call them on YouTube or watching it on NBATV.com, you can go back and watch Josh Giddey's plays. And I highly recommend that you break them down. Watch them once and just be in awe and then go back and watch it again. Watch it frame by frame. Watch the screen coming up. Watch how Josh directs the traffic in the lane. Watch how he makes eye contact with the post players. And I'm telling you guys are going to get really excited about his IQ and the way that he understands the game.
Yeah, and the conversation preceding this was kind of like a narrative that we've heard quite a bit. Basically, the Thunder are in trouble because we wasted a draft pick. That's what a lot of people kind of think because they feel like if we didn't get into the top five, if we didn't get one of those big time guys, then last year was a wasted year. That's not how we feel, but that's the narrative that's surrounding the team. That's, you know, pushed out by ESPN and different people, and we've called them all out. The Ringer is one of the worst at doing this type of bullshit, but in the end, most of them have either blocked us or grown up, and they've, you know, changed the way that they've talked about this team because they realize that we are doing something special. It's not easy to explain, but you have to just watch what's happening. When you see the starting lineup that we put out last night, you got SGA, Bazley, Dort, Giddey, and JRE. You know, there's so much youth and talent and the ability to win, and they're getting incredible opportunities and experiences as they play. So we believe that Josh Giddey is a really big part of this. You know, anytime you have a new player, watching them play, watching what they can do and what they can add to the team is really fascinating. You know, obviously when Dort goes out and puts up 7 games so far this season where he put up over 20 points, that's really special. One thing that we want to like make sure we recognize too is pretty soon when Dort goes for 20, nobody's going to talk about that being special anymore. So, you know, we're still at that spot where 7 games seems like a lot. I bet by the end of the season, 20 won't be anything. He's probably going to average, in my opinion, 20 points all of next year because of how far he's come. And he could even do something like that this year. I don't know. I mean, it's still early. But the point with me, with Dort, and with Giddey, and Bazley, and SGA, and JRE, is we're noticing all of these things like they're brand new, you know? And that's what's so important. And we have more experience with SGA than any of these guys, and Dort and Bazley than the other guys. We've seen Poku play some. We've seen Ty Jerome and Moose play. So some of these guys we have more, you know, experience with, but when we get pumped up about it, this is not a small deal to us. And, you know, with the NBA, you're looking for small signs of much bigger things to come because it's not like, oh, well, we only get to have these players for 2 or 3 years. You know, realistically, we should have Giddey for 7 years. And we should look at the way that the contract played out for SGA. You know, we're going to get to see him play for at least 7 years. We hope much longer for these guys, but we're talking about contractual obligation that we can really give them a substantial incentive to sign with us over other people. So when we look at it and it's year one of hopefully at least 7 years, that's why we look at it for small signs for much bigger things to come.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I want to talk about one of the rookies that is emerging right now that's really becoming one of my fast favorite players, because I'm just a serious sucker for small post players, undersized post players, because if you can show that you can play as an undersized post player against bigger bodies, then you've got a special talent. And we've been seeing the emergence of JRE. He has emerged into the starting lineup and taken that spot over. Man, I cannot say enough. He has made it so that Derek Favors has been used less and coming off the bench right now. And that's something that I didn't see happening for at least half the season. But JRE has turned into one of those guys that we lean on for a lot of things. 2 for 3 last night on three-pointers, and he has been outstanding, Mark. I know we get stuck on Josh Giddey as the rookie that we love to talk about, but JRE is one of those guys that, to me, is that if he keeps on improving, he's not going to be one of those guys that's going to average 20 points a game, but he could average 12 points a game. And that's what's exciting, 14 points a game and 10 rebounds. He's one of those guys that could be the closest to Al Horford that we've seen in the NBA for a long time. I love his style of play. I love how he plays defense, how he is, just hangs out of the three-point line and slices to the hole when he needs to. His screens are amazing. They're next-level shit. And that's what's so great about it, because he's only 20 years old. He's got an incredibly bright future in the NBA. And getting this time for him right now has been huge. The starting minutes, I cannot tell you enough how big they are. He is slimmed down and he's put more muscle on. I told everybody in the beginning of the year that he needed to get his body more NBA ready and get more muscle. And we're seeing that progression happen very quickly. And that is really exciting. All we got to say is that the future for these rookies is incredibly bright. We saw an unbelievable play by Trey Mann last night. Since we're talking about rookies already, you might as well bring up Trey Mann. Trey Mann gets the ball off a steal and cuts to the lane all the way through from coast to coast, and he finishes off on Kuzma. Kuzma says something to him as he's running down the floor, and Trey Mann gets a smile. I only can assume what he said, but it was something like, nice one, young gun. Like, I mean, seriously, when a veteran gets scored on by a young player like that, and it was a beautiful play. There's not much you can say except for great job. You know, that was a beautiful play. So, again, this is really exciting to see how these rookies are really coming through.
Man, you're so right about Jeremiah Robinson Earl right now. I mean, really, all of the rookies, like you're saying. But I want to talk about specifically Jeremiah Robinson Earl's ability to pick and pop. Let's talk about the last four games, what he's done from behind the arc. 3 for 7 from deep, 2 for 5, 3 for 4, and 2 for 3. I mean, if you can shoot at that level, there's no way any team will ever leave you open. Something about him last night really took me back in time a bit, and I remembered the way that we try to use Sabonis. Now, we also had a lot of Steven Adams out there, so it's kind of like whenever you see us go with JRE and Derek Favors at the same time, that Steven Adams and Sabonis combo. But we used Sabonis quite a bit his rookie year in all sorts of situations on the perimeter, and we asked him to shoot the ball a lot. Now, he started out shooting really well, and as the season went on, he reverted back to not the best three-point shooter, but he's gone on to have an incredible career. I mean, exceeding even my expectations, and I had really high expectations for him. So I think what I can say about Sabonis and JRE is that this young experience where you're shooting a lot of threes on the perimeter, where teams are daring you to shoot it when you're open, it's really important in your development. You take that, and then you start building your game off of it. Because, I mean, we saw it with Dort. So many times in the NBA, the first thing they want you to do is prove that you can make a three. If you can do that, then they're going to take that away from you, and it's like a chess match. They're going to go, and they're going to take away your first option, your second option, your third option. But at first, you have to prove that you even belong out there before they're going to challenge you. Because if they come running out at you, anybody can go score at the basket, you know, if the help defense is late. But the truth is, you got to be able to be able to knock down a shot first when you're open, and then with your hand in the face. And right now, they're daring JRE to shoot, and he's making him pay. Pretty soon, though, when they put him into that pick and roll spot, they're going to be thinking, we don't want this guy to shoot the three. And as soon as they do that, think about how much extra space that's going to create for a player like SGA or Giddey. But this is what we're all about right now. And, you know, watching this team figure it all out, I mean, it obviously, if that shot had gone down by SGA, then everything it would be different. We'd be talking, you know, at a really different level, because you can't help but be infected by the energy that winning creates. And that's what we're sitting here on the verge of. We know that we've lost a number of games in a row, and we've been, you know, experiencing double-digit deficits on a regular basis. But watching this team figure out how to get closer and closer to win, to winning, is important, because that's where you're going to see the joy come from when they experience it. You know, if they had come in and just never experienced losing, then you're not going to see, you know, that extreme excitement from, you know, experiencing winning. It comes from the trials and the difficulties of all of this, and figuring it out together is the most important part.
Yeah, man, we can just call it the Presti. I mean, we don't know exactly how this is all going to fit together. It's all, you know, a big question mark. Like, we got all these young players. We got a massive, funky group. I mean, I want to say that it's interesting how Sam has drafted these guys. And I'm totally down with it. I'm excited about it, because the reality is that if you look at Poku, you look at Shea, you look at Giddy, you look at all these guys that are in the mix in Oklahoma City right now, and you have to look at them and say, okay, this is a strange group. But if Sam Presti and Coach D can figure out how to use these guys properly, this strange group will be the blueprint for every NBA team drafting in the future. And that's what makes this exciting, is that there's nothing ever been like this before, as a GM that has gone out and picked the talented players that he has picked, the young talented players that he has picked, typically the youngest player in the draft too. It's strange in that aspect, but to me, I'm excited about it. We've watched Bazley come up and mature. We've watched JRE now. Dort is playing outstanding. Nobody thought that Dort would ever be a 20-point player a game, especially coming out of college. There's 0% chance that anybody ever thought that he was going to score 20 points a game. Now, like Mark said, we're expecting it. We watched Sam trade for Shea and draft Josh. Like, this is really interesting. These two guys are going to be a lot of fun to see how they end up maturing together and working together, because the reality is, if we look back in the history of the game, has there ever been two point guards that has shared the same floor like Josh and Shea? I don't know. Like, I seriously have to go back way back and continue to look, because I don't know if we've ever had a team that has a 6'6 and a 6'8 point guard that play, you know, simultaneously together, that can go off and screen each other, that can go and pick and roll. Like, these guys are insane. And that's what's so incredibly fun about it, is that the oversized guards that we have is fun. Yes, Dort is 6'3 or 6'4, but he plays like he's 6'8. So it doesn't really matter how small he is. So to me, this is really exciting. The team that Sam has built, and the Presti, whatever you want to call it, has been really, really exciting to see. And I really dig it. And I think that there's a huge future for these guys. And like Mark said, we can pay them more than anybody else, because we're saving all the money right now. And on top of that, they can sign contracts that are longer and more lucrative for them in Oklahoma City. And that's what makes me excited, because I need to see these guys in 3 to 4 years and what they're doing. That's when they're going to try to be competing for a championship. And right now, we're just trying to compete to get to the playoffs. And that's what's so exciting. And I'm so, so incredibly pumped that we have an incredible nation like Australia with us right now. They're fighting with us. We get to hear their voices now, and I'm really pumped that this is going to be like this, because Josh Giddey is for real, and everybody in the NBA that knows anything about fucking basketball, they all agree with us, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah, and one thing I want to, you know, add, Ben, I think this time where SGA was out for a few games was actually kind of important, and you see this happen a lot in basketball, really in all sports, but you have like your MVP, and then he gets injured, then they have to figure out how to do things without that player, and then that's when everybody kind of steps up, and then your best player can step back in and not necessarily take over, but more be a part of things, and I think that's happening more. We saw that last year when SGA was out, people were forced to be more aggressive, and they couldn't just get him the ball, which was good for everybody to go through those experiences. And now that he's back, one thing I noticed is we scored a lot more buckets cutting to the basket. And I think because Coach Daigneault got the opportunity to watch, you know, Giddey play with the ball in his hand the whole time. You know, our offense needs to be predicated a lot more like a Princeton offense, where we have a lot of movement going to the basket. We can use Giddey on any spot of the basket, and he can play. He can find the cutter with his back to the basket. He can do it with the dribble that's live. It doesn't matter the situation, but we need to have players moving. If you have that, then these guys will take advantage of opportunities. And I've noticed quite a bit more cutting to the basket happening. It's important because SGA, he loves to get to the basket, but when teams can just focus on him and they don't have to worry about people moving and bodies moving and people getting open, then they can really focus in on him. So we need to make him pay. And one of the biggest ways you can do that is when heads turn, you move to open spots. And that's really important. And I've noticed that happening more. So I'm really proud of this team, this coaching staff, because we have to take advantage of the opportunities other teams give us.
Yeah, man. And if you look at Josh Giddey's game, I feel like they all are attack first guards. And that's really important. When you have attack first guards, and then you have those guards that when you get the open shot, you take it, to me is incredibly important. And that's why I continue to go back and keep on looking at these guys, because if these guys have a similar game in attacking the hole, and that's what they start doing more and more often, you see the backdoor cuts by Dort, you see the backdoor cuts by Shea, these guys are going to be the ones that are going to get the hoops, the buckets, and it gets me excited, because if we can get these three guys averaging, you know, anywhere between 15 and 18 points a game, it's exciting. I know Shea is going to average 24, 26, 28 points a game. I'm not worried about that. He's still getting back in basketball shape. But the reality is that right now, I would love to see these guys, all three of them, get up to that teen range and scoring right now and consistently do that. Again, this is going to be a strange year as we learn how to all play together. But I'm not too worried about that, because next year we're going to have adding more players via the draft. We're going to see some players leave due to us deciding to move on from them, and so on and so forth. So this is going to be a really interesting year to see how all these guys start gluing and gelling together. But eventually we're going to get to that year where we're going to see the majority of the players are going to stay the same. I still think there's three or four players that are not going to be on this team in a couple years, and that's fine. But the reality is that as this team matures and gets better, the players that are going to be staying here are going to be fun. I would love to see Mike Muscala in the next 3 to 4 years, 5 years, whatever, turn into one of our coaches. I think he is a phenomenal leader to this team, and I think he would do an incredible job as a coach, in the coaching staff. So again, there's just certain places that we would love to see these guys go. And I got to say is that I am really impressed with Coach D and the way that he has been coaching, but I really want to tip my hat to Coach Dave Bliss and taking over for those three games. I really enjoyed watching his style of coaching, and I feel like he did a great job. And if you haven't had a chance to watch Coach Gibbs down in the Oklahoma City Blue, please take a moment and go watch him play there or coach there. He does a phenomenal job connecting to the players, and that is why Sam Presti uses Coach D a lot to send the players down to go play and get confidence. And it's because of Coach Gibbs there, and I'm really excited about he's on our coaching staff. So again, thank you so much for listening to Mark and I. We really appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.